Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with alcohol. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my frenemy, Iron Man.
Dun, dun, dun.
Terminator?
I don't know.
Dun, dun.
Dun, I just listen. Thank you for thanking of me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Just wow. Okay. So as I alluded to, Frank and I are branching out, and we are not drinking beer.
Mm-mm.
Because
we didn't feel like it.
Full disclosure, we felt bloated.
Big dinner.
I made a delicious dinner.
You did.
I wasn't feeling, as Frank put it, liquid bread.
Mm-hmm.
So we are drinking things that are decidedly not filled with bread.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you drinking?
I am drinking top shelf wine.
Oh, yeah.
Top shelf.
Top of my shelf.
Mm, yeah. That is actually true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was getting. Yes, it was literally at the top of your shelf.
Mm.
It's a Barefoot Red Moscato.
Well, it's very nice. Mm-hmm. Yes. I know it's very nice because it is in my home. I don't remember who gave me that because I definitely didn't buy that for myself. But it's good.
It's quite good.
I'm drinking a concoction that I like to call Gin on the Rocks.
That's a good name for it.
Yeah. I almost called it a Star Sapphire Gin, which is not the case.
Nope. Bombay Sapphire.
Perhaps. Yes.
But it's more fun to call it a Star Sapphire.
It is.
Because you've got the whole comic book connection that way. So
that's right.
Why not?
Right. Indeed. Mm. So that's what I'm drinking. It is good, and I'm going to nurse it probably through several episodes.
Well, enjoy them. Enjoy that. Enjoy the episodes.
I will.
Did you enjoy Captain America: Civil War?
I didn't. No, I'm just kidding. I did. Yeah,
we haven't really. We had very vague passing. So Tim and I are in a couple of group text conversations together, and whenever a movie or a show or something we know we're going to podcast about comes out. Like, and our friends will be like, what'd you guys think? And, like, we'll talk about it a little bit, but Tim and I tend to not participate very much.
I'll be like, I liked it a lot. I liked the part where Captain America was in it.
I liked the part where he stopped moving.
Yeah.
We'll do that and try not to talk about it for one another so that when we talk on the podcast, it's still kind of fresh. So
how these people are still our friends. I'll never know.
They're doing all the talking, and we're like, yes, I also saw the part where he had a shield.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So this is really the first time we've actually talked about this movie for real.
Mm-hmm.
So, you liked it.
Yeah. Full disclosure, full spoilers. I'm not going to beat around the bush.
Nope.
The movie's been out for too long.
Yep.
It's been out for a couple weeks now. Like, what are you doing if you haven't seen it yet?
Don't be listening to this.
Having a family?
Come on.
You know, people say, like, oh, you've seen a movie more than once? Like, get a life. And I'd be like, what do you think going to the movies with friends is?
Yeah.
Like, what is your life? Sitting on the couch, like, watching Netflix? which one is actually having a life? Like, working a few jobs and having friends and going out to dinner, going to the movies, or sitting on your couch alone. Like,
yeah.
Which one is having a life?
No.
All right. Yeah. Now that my rant about that is over.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a trigger.
Yeah. Makes sense, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Just check it.
So what do you think about the election? No.
Yeah.
That's not.
I liked the part where he had a shield.
Okay. Yeah. So you've seen it how many times?
Four.
Wow. Okay.
Four.
Do you have a life? No.
No.
So
I keep getting invited by
friends.
By friends.
Who'd you go see it with on a social
occasion?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I've seen it once, and I probably won't see it again until it comes out on home video of some sort.
Yeah, I really didn't need to see it after the second time, but there were like plans that had like been pre-made. Sure, sure. So by the time the fourth one, I was like, okay, I've seen this movie enough times to last me a very long time.
It's a long movie, too.
Yeah, that's why I didn't need to see it anymore.
Okay, so it's a long movie, and it kind of feels it, too.
You can feel the length of this one.
Yeah, which is not... that's not to say I didn't enjoy it. I really did immensely enjoy it.
Because it's heavy.
It is heavy. And
it's heavy like Giant Man.
Yes, it is. I feel like I read a hardcover, collected edition of something. I feel like I read a big...
You read an event.
Yes, I read exactly.
You read Civil War, one would say.
Yes. But it feels slightly like I read Civil War, but I also read the tie-ins. Maybe I read more than I needed to.
You had new comic reader. You had new comic reader. Whoa, where you're like, oh, they're tie-ins. They must be super important. Yeah. I have to get all of them.
Right.
No, you don't. Right.
Oh, Final Crisis. Dance. I got to read this one.
My God. That is always your pull, which is my favorite thing. That's the thing you always go to.
Fine, Trinity. I got to read this. All 52 issues of it. No, but Countdown. Just going further and further.
You're
back.
Just going further back. Yeah, I know. You're just like Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh man,
Action Comics number one.
Awesome. Yeah, no, but really, it felt like I read all the tie-ins when I didn't need to. And that's not to say that there were things that didn't matter so much, but I felt like maybe some of this could have been chopped off and put in the next movie.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
My reasons are thus. It tells a complete story. I don't know where you would resolve this movie sometime to just, move into another film.
I felt as though when the big fight ended, right? The main fight in the airport towards the end there ended. And, some of them ended up going to the raft. And, Cap and Bucky were on the run and all this stuff. I felt like that felt like sort of after we see the other Winter Soldiers or the great twist that the other Winter Soldiers are not going to be
fighting.
Yeah.
Or doing
which
anything.
They got me hook, line, and sinker on that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, me too.
Totally got me. Some would say if this was a DC movie, we would have had another 20-minute fight where we would have seen all these Winter Soldiers.
We are not those people, Frank.
No, we are not. But some would say. That was a great twist. And after that, I felt like, okay, we kind of ended. We must be near the end now, right? Look at my watch. Oh, nope, there's another half hour. All right. And once we got to the end, I could see why we needed that extra half hour. Mm. But until we got to, wait a second, you knew? Until we got to Tony and Cap being like, you knew?
Yeah.
Until that piece of dialogue, I was like, why are they still fighting? Why can't we? Couldn't they do this in the next movie?
Oh, yeah, I can... So you thought that it dragged a little bit in between those moments.
Yes, there were highs and lows for me in the movie in terms of there were things happening and then there was nothing happening and there were things happening and there was nothing happening. So in those lulls, I was sort of like move it along. Not that I need the whole thing to be fight scenes, but nothing was. It felt to me like not much was happening. So I was eager for something to happen again.
I thought that the first time I saw it, having seen it a few more times, have been able to reflect on my original
opinion.
Originally, I did not like this movie as much as Winter Soldier.
That's where I sit right now.
I think I still sit that way.
Okay.
Not the movies are very different, and Winter Soldier just plays more to my personal tastes, I think. It feels like a different... It feels like a genre of a film. Mm. It is an espionage film with Captain America.
Yes. It's a Tom Clancy novel with superheroes.
Civil War is a superhero movie.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Even if it was trying to be something else, Ant-Man is a heist film
or whatever. Sure.
To me, Civil War is...
It's a superhero movie.
It's a superhero movie. It definitely subverts the genre in the way that the formula is played out and what happens between characters, and it's character-driven and all that stuff, but it is a superhero movie.
You know how the first Avengers film was meant originally to be sort of through Cap's eyes?
Yes.
They softened that up, right? And it ended up being more of a team movie.
Yeah.
Here, this movie felt like an Avengers movie that was through Cap's eyes.
Yeah.
That's how I saw this. It's kind of what they were going for the first Avengers movie, but backed off of. Mm-hmm. I got that vibe. I got that vibe. from this movie. So, and so it was very much a superhero film in that respect. Yeah. What were your favorite things about the movie?
It's a good question. Okay. I liked Cap's characterization very much because I think his decision-making process, because I mean, a lot of people walked out of this movie going like, wouldn't Cap side with the government because he was a soldier and like all that, but like, no, he would not, because Cap's never really been on the government side. He's a soldier out of, he feels necessity because he doesn't like bullies. Mm. But that's Steve's thing from his core, from the first Avenger. He lies on his enlistment form multiple times to try to get into the army, mm-hmm. to not kill anybody, not to be a government stooge, not to be a soldier or anything like that, but because he doesn't like bullies.
Yeah.
And in The Winter Soldier, he is questioning his existence as a member of a government organization. Right. That's the whole point of the movie. And then it, like, happy for him, that government organization turned out to be evil.
Right. But so when the government becomes a bully, he's going to stand up for them here.
He's going to stand up for them because that's true to Cap's core.
Right.
And Tony is an emotionally driven character, worried about accountability because he spent the majority of his life not being accountable for things, pretty much up until this very moment.
Pretty much.
You know, which he reiterates multiple times. You know, like, Ultron, my fault. You know, this poor kid, dead, Sokovia,
yep.
All these things. But that goes all the way back to Iron Man 1. He feels emotionally tied and emotionally responsible for almost everything that he does.
Yeah.
He's probably maybe still suffering from some PTSD from all the way back to the first Avengers film.
Probably, yeah.
That you see a lot played out in Iron Man 3. So their coming to a head makes a lot of sense, and the sides that they sit on, and how much they spend. Maybe this feels like what people say, you could feel the length, because they spend a lot of time talking it out.
Yes, that's absolutely true. But the talking it out was important to set up like the believability of why they would fight each other.
Right. Yeah.
This is not the kind of movie where you really can't say like, but if they had just said, you know, hey, Lex kidnapped my mom. Oops. I mean, if there was one line of guy dialogue, the fight could have been avoided. You can't really make that argument.
We're not here to bash any film, though.
Tim doesn't like that I'm doing this.
No, but, I don't. It's not a fair comparison.
You're right. It's not. But I will stand by this. They made it very clear why they were fighting, and the fighting was justified and earned in the movie.
Yes, in the movie itself, but also in the context of a the larger greater, universe.
Yeah, this totally, is
13
totally.
Films. Just to, you know, talk about the elephant in the room, Batman v Superman is a wonderful elephant. I don't know why I bought an elephant and named him that, but he's spectacular. I was really excited for that movie. So
speaking of bloated,
my elephant is quite large. Yes, yes. It's not a euphemism. Batman v Superman is the second film in a shared universe. Yes, yes. So Marvel has 11 films on top of it,
uh-huh.
some of which the characters drive the story and some of which don't. That's not, you know, the point is that like you've earned this fight in a different way even before you get to earning it in the film.
Yeah.
And so it's just not the only fair comparison you can make for Marvel and DC or WB at this point is Iron Man 2 and Batman versus Superman. You compare Man of Steel to Iron Man, and you compare compare Iron Man 2 to Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it doesn't, the math doesn't fit.
No, you're right. Right. Yes.
And so.
Yes. They don't have the same footing to build up a universe around it.
It's right, exactly. And I recall when Iron Man 2 came out, people were really down on it.
They didn't like it.
It felt
yeah.
bloated and all yeah. this, and this doesn't make sense, and yeah. blah, blah, blah. And then in retrospect, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
It's all well and fine. Does BVS have its problems? Absolutely. Totally. But it's not fair to compare it to Civil War. So we're dropping it now.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, Captain.
Well, I do have the shield.
That's true. You do have behind you. Who were you, Team Cap or Team Iron Man, going into the movie?
Going into the movie, I was Team Cap.
Mm. And walking out?
Team Cap.
Mm.
Because Tony's emotional breakdown at the end of the story, Cap's coming at it. to some extent, Cap's also very emotional for a different reason. Like, Peggy is dead. Mm-hmm. And so his one tie to his life is Bucky. Mm-hmm. His, like, literally the only thing that remains to him is Bucky. And so, obviously, you know, he's going to protect that to his best interest. But Tony's emotional breakdown about, you know, Bucky killed his parents. Like, logically, Tony even knows Bucky does not have control over his actions when that happened. So, like, but he says in the film, I don't care. He killed my mom.
Yeah.
But so to me, that made me fall off, like, cheering for Tony in any way, because it's all emotion at that point, and it's all he's coming at it from an unethical place at that point. Because it's selfish. It's his accountability, his protection, his this, you know, a lot of the time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that point that he became very selfish and very emotional immediately. And then, you know, he knows that Bucky didn't kill his mom, right? The people who made Bucky do it killed his mom,
right?
Right. Bucky was just a weapon.
Right.
But I don't agree with Cap not telling Tony for all that time.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that bothers me, and that almost made me kind of Team Iron Man at the end. I went into it also being Team Cap and left sort of being like, Tony, as much as he's reacting poorly here, I would be mad that my friend didn't tell me that too.
Right, but Cap doesn't lie to him when he says, I didn't know it was him, which is true. He's led to maybe believe that it's him, or the audience is back in Winter Soldier when they're talking about the living computer Armin Zola.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you see, you know, Stark's dead in car crash, and then you see a shadowy figure of what you assume is the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
And so it's like, you can kind of put the pieces together, but even, like, I've seen Winter Soldier a bunch of times. I don't think I've ever put those two things in my brain together
for whatever
reason. And I'm sure, like, I'm not Cap, certainly maybe he's thinking about it, but he's like, he can guess, but he doesn't know. The only way that he might actually know is based on that file that Natasha hands him at the end of Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Like, that might be in there, but maybe isn't. Like, we're not sure.
He said he figured it out. So he did.
No, he didn't.
Well, Tony asked him, like, but did you know? Like, okay, maybe you didn't know, but did you basically know?
And Cap doesn't respond, which is kind of like an omission of guilt by not responding.
But he did know.
But, like,
He'd piece it together well enough that he was suspicious, and he didn't say anything to Tony.
He was, it's like that, I'm 99% sure it was him, but I have that 1% margin where I don't have concrete proof, maybe it wasn't. And that was enough to hold Steve back.
I just don't agree with that decision on his part. I'm not saying it's like an anti-Cap thing to do. I'm just saying
I would be mad at him too.
No, I'm with you.
I don't think it's anti-Cap at all. Yeah. I think that's maybe part of his character to hold things back and internalize them and protect his past and knowing how emotional Tony is, you know, maybe there was no good time to say that to him. Now, that I do not agree with that decision. Right. He should have said it, but Tony logically should also know.
His reaction should have been better.
But Steve should also know logically that it wasn't Bucky's own doing.
Right.
So they're definitely both at fault. And that's what I like about this movie. If you read the book Civil War, it's definitely Team Cap, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically up until the end.
Yeah.
And even then you're like, it was kind of still like Iron Man's side is not the greatest, you know?
Right.
They clone Thor. They kill Bill Foster, even by accident, you know? But they're like, they're not doing it great.
Yep.
And this film, the worst thing that move that they really make is, like, they have a fight in an airport.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you could be really either side walking out. And we've said this before. In the real world, Team Iron Man. Like, you got to oversight that. Like, that is, you cannot let that happen.
Right.
Because we know Captain America, right?
Yeah.
As an audience.
Yeah, yeah.
As a person, I know what he would do because I trust him, because I'm into, like, but the public doesn't know Captain America. They know what the news says about Captain America.
Exactly. But they don't know him.
Right.
Right.
government doesn't know him.
They haven't followed him for 11 films or whatever.
Right, like, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, like hundreds of comics before that.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
Like we have very firm belief on who Captain America is.
Sure.
And this film, and yeah. They do not. And
right.
So
right.
You can understand their point.
Let's pivot for a second. Let's talk.
Pivot!
Let's talk a little bit about some of the ancillary characters.
Sure.
You got your Ant-Man. You got your Spider-Man.
Sure, we could talk about the bugs first.
Let's talk about the bugs.
All right.
The spider and his ant.
All right, let's talk.
And his hot ant.
Let's talk about Spider-Man first. Your thoughts.
Best thing about the movie.
Okay.
Best thing about the movie.
Tell me more.
Whatever 10 minutes he had on screen,
He was about 20 minutes, actually.
Was it when you combined it all together?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Whatever it was awesome. Just all of it was awesome. It was... We talked about Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man at length for 3 episodes. I mm-hmm. enjoyed the first 2 movies immensely. This was the best Spider-Man I've seen on screen, and it was only 20 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And I love that we didn't need to see the origin.
Yep.
No one left that movie being like, that was a good movie, but I don't understand how that spider chap got those powers. Like, no one...
that spider chap?
No one is going to leave that movie confused about his origin, right? Everyone... We know it. Everyone knows it.
And even if you don't, you know, nobody
it
cares.
It doesn't matter.
People who want to know the origin will spend 2 seconds to look it up. People... Most of the audience doesn't know. I've told this story
matter.
Before, but I watched Batman Begins with somebody.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like, but
yeah.
They had seen The Dark Knight... And when they saw Batman Begins and they saw Bruce Wayne's parents get murdered, and they go, oh, that's why he's Batman. But it doesn't stop them from liking the other movie.
They still enjoyed The Dark Knight.
He puts on a mask. It's fine. Nobody cares enough
right.
to like delve more. And so, and if they do, they know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
I don't think it matters. Like, I don't need to see Uncle Ben die again. I don't need to see it again. When, mm-hmm. when Sony makes their next Spider-Man movie, I don't need to see all that. I'm fine. With just pick up where we had in this movie and just move forward.
Yeah.
Just move forward with this. I'm fine with it. I loved Tom Holland. It was great.
Did you like his Queens accent?
It wasn't really a Queens accent to me. It was kind of just a generic American accent with a little bit of Queens thrown in
because mm-hmm.
he's British.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they didn't go full Queens, which I was fine with.
I would be worried. If it was like not full Queens, but you know,
yeah.
like it would be like if it's too.
Hey, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it would be weird to me.
I'm from New York and I don't talk like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So like, it's totally believable to me that he
I'm
wouldn't.
I'm from Boston and I don't talk like that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So like it's totally believable to me that
yeah.
he wouldn't. I loved Marissa Tomei. I was mm-hmm. very confused about my feelings toward Aunt May when I left the movie.
I do believe everyone was confused.
Yes.
Everyone was like, okay, I'm still team this or this, but I don't know how I feel about Aunt May.
I'm very
down the middle of the road. They ants come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, I like the shape of that ant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Ant-Man.
And that giant man.
Yes. Haha. Well, I'm not done talking about Spider-Man
okay,
yet, so let's
cool.
go back. Yeah. I don't think Spider-Man was the best part of that movie, but he's definitely my favorite Spider-Man on screen.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It would be good if you were like, wait, let's talk about Spider-Man. He wasn't my favorite part of the movie, but Ant-Man was, so let's talk about...
Yeah. Actually, Ant-Man might have been my favorite part of the movie.
He was awesome.
But
I agree. He was the best Spider-Man I've seen on screen.
I liked watching him as Peter Parker and go, wow, you have a great Peter Parker. Can't wait to see a Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes later or 10 minutes later, whenever you Spider-Man, I'm like, wow, you're a great Spider-Man. This is the first time this has happened to me.
They're both so good.
They're just both the way that I want them to
yes.
be. Yes. You know, just what sold his Spider-Man to me more than anything was when he's fighting Falcon and they crash into the building. He's like, you have the right to remain silent. That was my favorite, just because he's, you know, or Falcon, and like, you know, there's normally not as much talking. He's like, oh, yeah, sorry, my bad. You know, like, you know, I liked, clearly the kid, Tom Holland, has a good dynamic with a lot of people on that cast,
yeah.
despite being several years younger than
yeah.
them. So not that many. He's 19. 18, 19.
He's like 19, yeah.
When he filmed it. And so, and a lot of those guys are in their 20s. And
yeah.
so he's not that much younger than them.
Yeah, but think about a 19 year old. You know, like, you teach young people, you know, like.
He's an adult, but there's that point beyond college.
Yeah.
And then a little bit beyond that. And so, yeah, he's not exactly with them.
Right.
But
even though he's 19, he kind of looks convincingly 15 or 16.
He looks 15.
So,
yeah.
So, like,
easily.
Yeah. It's very convincing.
Yeah.
Much more than anybody we've seen as Spider-Man before.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the next movie, the next Spider-Man movie. And, you know, for the first time in years, I'm really excited for it. And we are supposed to get a Tony Stark cameo in that film.
I don't think it's
rumored.
I don't think No, my God, you gotta check some news sites, boy. Tony, Robert Downey Jr. has been confirmed as a member of the cast.
Oh, he's full on cast.
Weeks ago, yeah.
Nice. I'll send you things. Yeah.
Lately
I like to know less going into movies than, okay. than you know.
Well, I'm happy to provide you with this spoilery information. On
that's not spoilery. That's not spoilery. But
yeah, I do believe that. Right before the movie came out, or right after the movie came out, they were like, Robert Downey Jr., member of the cast of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Awesome.
Great. They had wonderful chemistry. Really.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. It did a really good job of setting up Peter as like this genius.
Mm-hmm.
And
but not overplaying it.
Not overplaying it. But you get the impression that, oh, wow, like when he grows up, he's going to be as smart as Tony. Like,
yeah.
He's going to be like Tony Stark level genius when he grows up. Mm-hmm. He was awesome. I don't want to spend too much time talking about this, but he was... He was amazing.
No, I mean, Civil War was a long movie. Our podcast can be a long movie.
Long podcast.
Yeah.
I have a theory.
Okay.
So, not even a theory, an observation. So, Spider-Man had the great line of, hey, remember that really old movie, The Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah.
Right? Which was a fantastic way to do that. I want to propose to you that...
I accept.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Batman v Superman. Can you officiate our wedding? Can elephants do that?
Yeah. We can ride in on an elephant.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Okay, good.
I think that this movie is sort of the Empire Strikes Back of this point in this saga.
In the saga of the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because I was thinking to myself, like, this is... I left feeling sort of unsatisfied. Like, there wasn't a satisfying ending of, like, you know, Nick Fury telling the S.H.I.E.L.D. people on the screens that, yeah, they're out there.
World Security Council.
That's what I said. And when we need them, we'll call them back together. And, like, there wasn't that satisfying ending of, we're taking Loki away and it's all going to be good and, we'd save the day. There wasn't that satisfying ending.
Or even Ultron, there's, like, you know, here's this, you know, it's, you know,
New Avengers
facility.
Go.
And, you know, although Winter Soldier, I mean, ended with, you know, Steve waking up in the hospital.
True.
So I guess that, you know, like, the adventure continues.
Yeah.
Although this movie is an adventure. Continue, I'm sorry.
The adventure does continue, but you don't have that ending of, like, everything is tied up neatly and it's all resolved.
Yes.
There's discord at the end.
Yes.
And there was no, like, good guys save the day moment at the end.
No.
Similar to what you have in The Empire Strikes Back, where you've got, you know, the good guys lost for this round. And the movie ends with on kind of a cliffhanger, and will they, won't they save Han and all this stuff. So there were elements that I felt were like, oh, this is kind of like the Empire Strikes Back moment of this saga. Does it make it the midpoint? No, by no means does it have to be the midpoint. But do you know what I mean? Just by this,
I agree with you, based on the fact that the McFeelys or the Russos, I can't remember which one. I'll say it's the Russos, said that to them that this movie was pitched as their Empire Strikes Back.
So I'm a genius.
So you're a genius,
I subconsciously remembered that.
Yeah, and then took it as your own observation and fan theory.
I don't think I remembered hearing that. So okay. I really did. I come with that on my own.
Yeah, this was the pitched as like, we're going to leave things unsettled.
Okay.
We got to shake things up. And, and Feige was also aware, based on previous films and reception, that they're like, it was time to shake things up.
Sure.
So when they came to him and said, this is what we want to do, and he said, good. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of people were like, why didn't Cap die at the end of the story and blah, blah, blah. And the filmmakers, everybody felt that that's a cheap and easy way to end a story. You know, but to leave things unsettled is more of an emotional breakdown, because then if Cap is just dead, then Tony's guilty and he's even more guilty and he's sad and it doesn't exactly fit. And the writers, they spoke about, like, well, Cap didn't die at the end of Civil War.
Right.
He died in his book in an epilogue in a trial, like, after Civil War.
Yeah,
but he didn't die in the book proper. He gets arrested in the end of the book proper. And then past that, he doesn't die. He travels through time,
and then comes back.
So, but people thought
quote, unquote,
he was
the
dead.
Death of Cap. You know?
Right, but it's like, why didn't Captain America die? Like, well, like, spend 3 seconds and think about the story or read it or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, he didn't die and that's not how it happened. And so like, why would we want that? But a lot of Civil War is Cap and his secret Avengers.
Yes.
Which is really what this movie leaves you off mm-hmm, on. Mm-hmm. Captain America with his secret Avengers. And that's what excited me, because like the Civil War in some way is still going.
Yes. Yeah. You know? It's not really over.
No, which it's, is it's really not to over. Your Empire Strikes Back idea. That your observation is that like though it's going this Han Solo was captured and we have to rescue him
yeah.
and Luke lost a hand and you know like mm-hmm, whatever mm-hmm. else and there's something further to explore
yeah.
here.
Things need to be resolved.
Yeah,
things need to be resolved. This whole MCU really is like a. It's really more like episodes or chapters in a larger story. Rather than like, you know, standalone films.
Well, they're all second act stories, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't.
Well, because that's how you write comic books, right?
Right, right, right. You can't resolve right. a comic book because then the story is over.
Right.
Your mythology is dead. There's no more to go. You know, you don't tell the death. I was going to say you don't tell the death of Hercules, but like they did and look what happened. Yeah.
Sure.
Greece died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah. So sad.
So sad.
Yeah. So, let's go back and talk about some more auxiliary characters. We alluded to Aunt May, who I am also confused about my mm-hmm. feelings for. I've never been confused about my feelings towards Marissa Tomei, but, you know, Aunt May was never something that struck my fancy.
Mm.
Until now.
Mm.
Let's talk about Ant-Man better than from he Aunt- was in his own movie.
From Aunt May to Ant-Man. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Better, yes, better than he was in his own movie. And yeah, I mean, it was like the best moments from his movie.
Yeah.
Put together. Yeah. Into a much shorter appearance.
I think Paul Rudd had maybe one of the hardest jobs with Tom Holland because he had to fit into this. He had to fit into this group that have made like several films together yeah. at this point, and you know have known each other for years. And here comes Paul Rudd, like I was in a movie, you know. And but he really blends himself in and holds strong. He gets a great moment. Giant Man could have come off looking really stupid, and it came off spectacularly.
Awesome.
You know. Because the characters felt the shock mm-hmm. the way the audience did,
mm-hmm.
and then I really wish Lego hadn't spoiled it for me.
So I had not heard about it.
Oh, okay.
So after I saw the movie, mm-hmm. I started reading all the news sites and everything, and everyone was like, "That was great! I wish I hadn't seen the Lego set." And I was like, "Oh, there was a Lego set? That sucks."
Yeah, yeah. I saw it live, so even if I didn't see the article, I saw it in the store. Yeah,
that sucks. Yeah. I managed to not see it, so I was really, really pleased.
Oh, good.
Really pleased to see that. Paul Rudd was also my, I took my fiance to see the movie, and she has not seen a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie since Iron Man 2.
Oh my God.
She saw Iron Man 2, like, with friends, I think, just like they were going to the movie, so she went with them. And then, you know, she hasn't seen an MCU movie since then.
Was this movie confusing to her?
So I was watching it through her eyes, I thought, the whole time. And I was like, I feel like she's not getting this. She can't be getting this. She can't. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She's not understanding any of this, is she? Like, this is so bad.
You walk out of the movie. You're like, we need to see it again so you understand.
I was kind of like, I need to see it again without you so I can enjoy it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But she was like, no, I understood it. I was like, really? She's like, yeah. They like she basically like explained the plot to me quickly. And like, bad stuff happened. And so the government wanted to control blah, blah, blah. You want to control? I was like, oh yeah, you really got it. She's like, I mean, there's probably like references to other movies that I didn't get, but they went over my head. I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything.
Hmm.
So I thought that it was going to be harder for her to understand as I was watching the movie, but no, she really got it.
It's the mark of a good movie.
Yeah, you can exactly.
Walk into the 13th movie in a saga.
Exactly.
And just like, yeah, I got it.
I got it. I got the important stuff. I enjoyed it. Yeah, she enjoyed it.
Well, to be fair, she's a very smart lady.
She's a very smart lady, and so I bring her up to say. Paul Rudd was her favorite part of the movie because she loves Paul Rudd.
Because he was great.
Because he's great. And who doesn't love Paul Rudd?
Mm-hmm.
But
I believe this is yours, Captain America.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is your conscience.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is your conscience. We haven't talked
in a while.
I was like, oh, I thought it was a water truck.
Like, yes, that was so good.
Yeah. Does anybody have any orange slices? I think that was the line that confused people the most. Like half the crowd was like, why would he need orange slices? And I was like, soccer? Like,
guys,
come on. It's an international sport.
Yeah.
Orange slices. Anyway, Paul Rudd was great. Let's talk about the Vision and the Scarlet Witch.
Sitting in a tree. F-I-G-H-T-I-N-G fighting. Yeah. I liked Vision wearing a sweater.
He looked very dapper. I liked that he had his regular bodysuit on underneath the sweater.
Yes.
That might have been my favorite part because he was like kind of bulky. But I
liked them a lot.
I liked him as the true conscience of the team because he's only about maybe a year old at this point.
Right.
And he's got, he has a lot to learn, but he has a very objective point of view. Mm-hmm. He clearly is confused about his feelings towards Wanda because clearly he has some kind of emotional connection to her. Uh-huh. Whether that's because of the Mind Stone or not, you know, remains to be seen. I thought Wanda was fantastic in this
She
film.
Was awesome. I really, really empathized for her.
Yeah.
And found it really unfair that, like, the world doesn't trust her.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, but let her have a shot. Let the kid try.
Yeah, she's just so nice. And
she was awesome.
Vision's line of, you know, nobody dislikes you, Wanda. And, you know, and I when he said that, I was like, you know, he's right. I really do. I genuinely like her. She seems like a lovely person who mm-hmm. maybe didn't make great decisions with Ultron, but you can also understand where she was coming from
Absolutely.
In that film, and it only built on that here. I really quite enjoyed that. I felt Black Widow was a little mishandled in this film.
Underutilized, if you ask me.
In some ways, I agree, and I don't think that her characterization was certainly she grows through every film, but like the only time that I really felt like I was watching Black Widow was Winter Soldier. And I was excited to see some kind of variation of that again, mm-hmm. and I didn't get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked when she and Clint were fighting.
I didn't enjoy that. Yeah,
that was good. Mm-hmm. Even when she was talking to Cap at the beginning, up to and slightly past the UN bombing.
Yeah.
And her interactions with T'Challa, like that was good. Mm-hmm. That was good. That was reminded me of her characterization in the Winter Soldier. But I agree with you. I feel like I wanted more of that, and I didn't quite get it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, but she'll be back.
She'll be back.
A War Machine. Let's talk about some War Machine.
Ah, yes. He wasn't in a good way, huh?
No.
No.
No, he wasn't. He looked great.
He looked awesome.
And even afterwards, he looked great.
Yes.
He's got a good head on his shoulders, thank God, because he almost lost that. But I mean, this man is a pilot and everything, and
yeah.
He knew what he was getting into, and he has a good outlook on continuing past that. And some people, like, they felt that there was no ramification. Like, I talked to some people, there were no ramifications from this film. I was like, he's paralyzed. Miss the part where Royce, he's like, he's got those leg things. And I'm like, do you want to wear those leg things?
Does that sound fun to you?
Like, all the time? Like, in the shower? You know?
Yeah.
Just all the time? Like, clearly, like, they're not great still.
Yep.
And so, but I liked that there was some kind of, like, it also, like, it makes Tony even more emotionally vulnerable because he's dealing with the emotional fallout of his, you know, his split from Pepper.
That's right.
And he is dealing with the emotional fallout of what we can tell is still the death of his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotional fallout of the events of Sokovia, and the accusations led against him, which was a fantastic scene, by the way. What a marvelous scene. And again and again. So one time where like Rhodey gets paralyzed and like all this stuff,
yeah.
And he finds out he's wrong. Like Tony is like possibly in the most vulnerable place he's ever been in any cinematic universe. And Downey Jr. finds yet another layer to this character, you know, six times in.
This was my favorite performance of his
in
several films. Yeah, maybe ever.
I think he hasn't been this sharp since the first film. Because the first Iron Man film.
Yeah.
Because he had a lot of depth to that character and a lot of turmoil and a lot of this. And not that you need turmoil all the time in the same way, but like, it's not the same as like, okay, I'm up and I'm quippy and
yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
I'm good. But this is like because even like his quippers fast talking in this was a little downplayed, you know, where
that is true.
He didn't have a funny answer for everything because he's hurting so much.
That's true. You're right. It was less of him having an answer for everything. I mean, he was still funny and witty and, you know, and clever. But you're right. It was less of like quipping back and in response to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hawkeye.
He was fine. I was never a big fan of Hawkeye. So like,
I'm gonna take it or leave it with Hawkeye. Yeah. But this is the first time that I watched Hawkeye on screen and went, that's the Hawkeye that I know.
Mm. Yeah. I think I probably liked him, you know, more than I have in a while, I guess. But I mean, I don't really care. He could have not been in the movie and I wouldn't have missed him, to be honest.
Okay.
You know, as far as I was concerned, he's on the farm with his family. It's fine.
Sharon Carter, underutilized?
No, just right.
Just right.
Just right.
Yeah. I would actually like to see more of her. Mm-hmm. I think that
I would like to see more of her.
She has a good dynamic with Cap, and I would like to see that fleshed out. Speaking of good dynamic with Cap, Falcon.
Awesome. I don't know why he has parachute and War Machine doesn't, but that's fine.
Somebody else said that too. Actually, yeah, it seems like a design flaw.
It does.
Maybe the suit's too heavy for a parachute.
Okay. I don't know.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's all I got.
We know Tony doesn't have one either, so like,
yeah, right, exactly. Falcon was great. His dynamic. I loved the fight for my man that Bucky and Falcon had going on in this film.
Yeah,
because like they're both the best friends, but there can only be one best
friend.
Yeah,
that was great.
And I thought, can you move your seat up?
No.
Yeah. I loved their dynamic. I thought Bucky was great in this film.
He was.
It was one of my favorite parts. And I've never been like a woo Winter Soldier or the character.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, like, woo, Bucky, you were the standout performance of the first Avenger. You know, like, he's never been a resonating character with me, but I loved him in this film. I loved everything that he had to bring to the screen. I like Sebastian Stan a lot.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah, I like how much he looks like Mark Hamill.
It's uncanny.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
It's pretty crazy. You know, so you sent me the picture of his face on Mark Hamill's body.
With his hair.
With his hair. But then I saw someone who did the reverse. They put Mark Hamill's face on Sebastian Stan's body with his hair. And it was just as striking. Weird. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad it works both ways, because if it only worked one way, then it probably wouldn't be as strong of a connection.
It works both ways.
That's awesome.
It's remarkable.
I don't know if I would believe Mark Hamill as the Winter Soldier, but
Prob's not.
No. I loved all of that. Let's talk my favorite character of the film that was not Captain America, T'Chaka.
Yeah.
And T'Challa.
And T'Challa.
Well, I want to talk about T'Chaka first, and this is why he was one of my favorite characters of the film. I wasn't kidding when I said that.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a film called The Ghost in the Darkness?
No.
Okay, you're missing out. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It came out in 1996. It is one of my top 10 favorite movies of all
time. Wow, okay.
Stars Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas and T'Chaka.
Oh.
And it's the only thing I've ever seen him. His name's John something. And he... Basically, it's a true story about man-eating lions in Africa in the late 1800s. It's like the guy goes to Africa to build a bridge for the British Empire, and lions are like attacking and eating the crowd. And it's a true story.
Oh, wow.
They killed like 30 something people by the time that they were caught and like, or not caught. No spoilers here. But they're on display in Chicago. You can like go see them. But I won't tell you who dies.
Based on a true story.
All of them. Based on a true story. But it's a great film, and he's in it, and he is awesome. And it's the only thing I've ever seen him in, and it's always stuck with me. So he, like, showed up on the screen as T'Chaka, and I went, and nobody was around to, like, get this. And so the only person that, like, I really know that has seen this movie is my brother. And so when he saw the movie, I saw him over the weekend, and I was like, did you notice who T'Chaka was? He was like, it was the dude from The Ghost of the Darkness. It was awesome. And I was like, Curse.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so when T'Chaka died, I was like really upset because I really liked that guy.
You didn't like see it coming?
No, I knew it was coming. But I was still upset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was upset when Howard Stark died, but I knew that was coming too. Yeah. No, I didn't. That was a surprise. I didn't expect that twist. It was good. But Black Panther was actually my favorite part of this movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman was awesome.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
More adjectives.
He was outstanding.
There you go.
I am really, really very much looking forward to
Black Panther movie.
I was looking forward. I know it's a couple years away, but.
I was looking forward to 2 years away.
Yeah. I was looking forward to it before, but mm-hmm. now I'm like, I'm super jazzed yeah. because his accent they created for this film, they created a brand new African accent, a Wakandan mm-hmm. accent, was like, I want to listen to somebody talk like that all the time. Which apparently he did. He walked around on set with that African accent.
Oh, wow.
Accent.
He stayed in character.
I don't think he stayed in character, but he stayed in the accent so he wouldn't lose it or change it or anything like that. Excuse me. I loved his motivation. So I saw online somebody was like, he's basically the Inigo Montoya of this film.
Yes, you killed my father. Like, I had that exact thought.
Yeah.
Did someone not make it? Did Tony not make a joke about that, or someone make a joke about that in the movie?
Bucky gets called Manchurian Candidate, but there's no yeah. Princess Bride joke.
Okay, because I totally had the thought while watching the movie.
Okay,
he was like, "You killed my father," and I was like, "Prepare to die."
Right? Yeah, he's like, "I've killed him myself."
Yeah,
like an ego will.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I loved the look. I loved the way he moved and fought, and how regal and dangerous he was. Loved the, like, that end line with Zemo, where it's like, the living are not done with you yet, or whatever. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I wish I spoke like this.
I know. I wish I was that, like,
wish I was
profound.
King of a fake African yes. country so I could speak like this.
I yeah. be that wise.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it. And I think he's played enough, just enough, and every character, I think, gets just enough to do, except for Black Widow. I think that she's the shortchanged one.
I agree. Yeah.
In this film, Thunderbolt Ross comes back, which is cool. End of story.
Fine, yeah.
Shortchanged, actually, lied. Everett Ross, Martin Freeman.
Oh, like, I loved him being in this movie.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was going to be in it, because, again, I keep off the sides.
Oh, my God, you really
so
did.
I really went into this one really pretty pure. Aside from having seen the trailers, I really didn't know much else. Yeah. And on purpose. And I was so excited when he came on screen to freaking love Martin Freeman.
I love Martin Freeman.
Yeah.
He is the best.
Yeah.
And he released a statement saying that his contract expands and he'll have a lot more to do as
yes.
the cinematic universe goes.
It was weird to hear him with an American accent.
It took me a couple of viewings to actually get used to it.
Yeah.
And even then I was like, just not yeah. settling with me.
Mm.
But both Sherlock and Watson are now in the MCU.
Yeah, very, very true. Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah, or Smaug and Bilbo, you know, however you want to look at it, you know.
Sure.
I've run out of characters except for Zemo. We haven't talked about Helmut Zemo yet.
I thought he was a really great villain for this movie.
I thought that when I first left the film, my first viewing, I was like, I was not that I wasn't a fan of him. Like, I thought he did the job effectively, and he's one of the only villains to actually be alive at the end of a Marvel film.
That's true, yeah.
And, you know, like your plan didn't work, and it's like, oh, didn't it? You know, mm-hmm, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it could have been anybody. Like, it didn't have to be Zemo, who is a pretty awesome Captain America villain. But on reflection, I was like, but he was awesome for what he did in the film. I was just missing the purple mask, actually.
Is that honestly. It?
I was really just
you just wanted full on.
I didn't need to wear it the whole time, but like it's like a such a character costumes is such an essential part of
yeah.
characters
true,
to
true.
Me. Like, you know, I don't want the Green Goblin showing up and not looking like the Green Goblin ever. You
yeah,
know, like
yeah,
it's just
I'm
a
with
dude
you.
In a suit,
I'm
you
with
know.
You.
And so I just like I need you to be like even Bartok the Leaper. Batroc the Leaper had a purple costume on, you know, in Winter Soldier. And like that, he didn't, like that was enough for like, and that's what I think was missing. Like he didn't wear purple once in the whole, you know what I mean?
So you felt.
Here's this dude in a plaid shirt and sweater, you know.
So you felt you needed a nod to his costume.
There was concept art where they thought about it. It was all done up and it looked
yeah.
awesome. And in the comics, traditionally, Zemo's the one that kills Bucky
yep.
and freezes Cap
yep.
in the water. It's not Red Skull. And
right.
so Zemo is like, and he's part of Hydra usually, typically. And so for him to be anti-Hydra in this, which I thought was a cool little twist,
mm-hmm.
the death of the Hydra agent was pretty barbaric.
Yes.
I thought,
oh my
actually.
God, yes.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, kids see this movie.
I had the same yeah. thought. I was like, I don't know if everyone kids see this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, just maybe for that scene.
For that scene alone. Yeah.
yeah.
Like maybe, you know, like if there's like a TV friendly edit or something where that's not in it, then
yeah,
I would show
well,
a kid, but otherwise I don't know.
Well, I'll be sure to show it to your child
oh,
secretly.
Well, that's not fair.
No. Well, life isn't fair. Why should the afterlife be any different?
any other thoughts?
I'm sure. I've seen this movie enough times that I could definitely talk about it for a lot longer. But we're way over our normal time.
You know what? I will make one final. I have one final thought.
Sure.
And that is that the de-aging of Robert Downey Jr. in the beginning of the film was masterful. It reminded me very much of the de-aging of Michael Douglas in Ant-Man.
Yeah, he was a little shiny for me this time.
Really?
Yeah, I thought Michael Douglas one was better.
Maybe better, yeah. Yes, I will agree that was better, but I was still captivated by that and just watching and like waiting for him to look fake. Mm-hmm. And he didn't look as... I still think of... You never saw Tron Legacy, did you?
Nope.
We should really see that movie together. Okay. It's not a very good movie by any stretch, but it's such a fun movie. It's such an enjoyable movie. Anyway, you have a de-aging of Jeff Bridges in that movie that is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, pretty objectively terrible.
Was that like the de-aging of Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart in X-Men Last Stand?
Worse.
Okay. Worse. Because at the time, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, this was not good for the time. It was just awkward. I kind of wish that like they hadn't shown us his face or something, or they'd gotten a lookalike instead. It was distracting. This and Michael Douglas were just beautiful, perfect, amazing. Mm-hmm. Again, my fiance, we walked out of the movie and we were both like, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
it's an amazing effect.
I know this was 2.5 hours ago, but remember young Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah.
Remember how much he looked like Robert Downey Jr. when he was on SNL? Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember Pretty in Pink?
Yeah.
He wasn't in that movie. Do you remember it anyway? It's a great movie.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I did think, I felt like that what they used as reference was his season on SNL. I don't know. I could be wrong. But it was around that same time period. Yeah.
From the 80s.
Yeah. 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 But it was that same time period. And just, it looked great. Anyway, that's my closing thought.
Yeah. Good closing thought.
I enjoyed the movie very much overall. I had a couple of things that, I didn't like here or there, but I did not detract from my enjoying the movie.
No, it's a great film. Definitely one of their best.
Yes.
I wish, this is my one thing, I longed for the Captain America theme by Alan Silvestri from the first Avenger.
You know, I missed that too.
And I don't know why. Like, they used it once. They used that leitmotif once, music term, once in when he's running around the monuments in Winter Soldier, and you never hear it again. And this one, you don't hear it ever. And Henry Jackman did the music for Winter Soldier, and he did it for this. I wonder if there's some kind of right thing, like if Silvestri doesn't do the music, then you're not allowed to use it, or you have to pay a lot of money to use his piece.
I feel like Marvel probably owns that music, so they probably could use it.
Yeah.
It's probably a choice, an artistic choice on his part. Like, I'm making my own themes, and I will use my own themes.
Yeah, that's fine. I get that, but that
but for I agree,
really
for continuity's
good.
Sake, and it was such a good theme.
It was great. Now,
that's your favorite, isn't it?
Oh, so good.
Yeah,
it's so good. But I also don't really know exactly where it, like, it doesn't fit this type of film anymore. Like, it's kind of like of the 40s, it's got that sense to it.
But using the leitmotifs is always, you can find a way to work
them. You can adjust
them.
In, yes. John Williams is a master.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Just call him up, Henry, and be like,
is it so hard?
Hey, I'd like to use this theme. Will you help me adjust it? Or how do you do this so splendidly? And John Williams would be like, hey, baby, I'll tell you all about it.
Hey, baby. I think Michael Giacchino really needs to get into the MCU or Star Wars. Really, honestly, I wish he
would. Do you want me to tell you the news then?
Oh, well, I know. Yeah, I know. But I can't. Yeah. I kind of want him to take over. Like,
that's the one thing really missing from the MCU is it doesn't continuity. Have that musical continuity that like something like Star Wars has, where it's just like it's like movie to movie, and so like you can watch Thor and be like, oh, that's Thor's theme or whatever, but I have a hard time pressing like where it is in any other film, because like I hear Cap's theme slightly in Ultron sometimes, and that's about it. And if I heard it in the film, I go, oh, that's it right there. That's the theme. That's Iron Man's theme. That's Thor's theme. But I can't pull them for you, which is a sign usually that it's not a great theme.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sign of our preference, right? We both prefer memorable themes.
80s. With 80s music.
Yeah, kind of 70s, 80s movies. Yeah, themes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not so much 70s, because Star Wars was against the grain in the 70s.
Yeah.
John Williams went against
General
Symphonic. Yeah, his symphonic scores were not the norm then. So anyway, that's my takeaway. You can find us at all the places at beerwithgeeks.com, facebook.com/beerwithgeeks, at beerwithgeeks on the Twitter, and other places. You can rate and review us on iTunes and Satchel and Overcast and Google Play and all other places that podcasts are sold. But they're never sold because they're free.
They're free. Keep podcasts free. Yeah, no, those are all the places. You nailed it.
We can revisit Civil War at a time when it comes out on Blu-ray,
yes,
or a digital copy, as for myself. And so, because I do have plenty more to say that I barely touched the surface. So, do you have anything further to add?
I do not, sir. Okay. I do not. Other than I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful week. And until next time,
cheers.
Cheers.